Okay, John 21, 25. And there are also many things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. This is probably one of my favorite verses of the Bible. I love that Jesus did so much in his short lifetime that books about it could fill the world. In this room alone, 2,000 years later, we individually represent so many stories of God's faithfulness and grace. And this does not even include our grandparents and parents and children's stories. And testimonies are always the best stories because they always end in heaven. When I was asked to share my testimony, I was excited for a chance to tell my story, but when I sat down to write it out, it became pretty difficult. The truth is, my story isn't finished yet, and I stand in front of a room full of women whom I respect and admire, and I realize that I have a long way to go. And yet, Jesus' blood covers me even today. Even today, smack in the middle, I know that my story ends in heaven. My name is Paula Casebolt. I was born and raised in Moscow, and I am married to Joe Casebolt, and I have four kids, ages 9 to 14. I am the daughter of John and Jan Sawyer. As far as my Christian heritage is concerned, I consider myself a trust fund baby. My parents and grandparents were all faithful believers. My beloved grandmother has recently joined her Heavenly Father, and I cannot think of a better example of someone who tirelessly worked towards God's kingdom every single day of her life. She entered into the kingdom entirely spent. Her work on this earth has blessed me abundantly throughout my life. I was unconditionally loved with an agape love throughout my childhood. I was never concerned that my parents' love was conditional. They were extraordinary in the ways they continually laid down their lives for me and my older brother and younger sister. As with many trust fund babies, I didn't truly value the wealth of this Christian love and heritage as I should. I have believed in Jesus my entire life. We attended the Nazarene church when I was young, and I was faithfully taught all the Bible stories in Sunday school. I was 7 years old when I confessed my sinful nature and asked Jesus into my heart. This come-to-Jesus conversation had been spurred on by the fact that I was always passed over for communion, and I had asked my mom why I didn't get any of the bread and grape juice. I loved bread. And grape juice was the best of all the juices. A short time later, I was baptized in a baptismal at the front of the church in a white gown that was converted from a Christmas angel costume. I was officially part of the covenant. We began attending Christ Church when I was 11 or 12. It was Community Evangelical Fellowship at the time, and it looked a whole lot different than it does today. I was a dyed-in-the-wool legalist at a young age. I liked rules and knowing when I was doing the right thing and when I wasn't, based solely on my actions. This new idea of Christian liberty was a real struggle for me. I didn't know how to make that fit. One time when I was in high school, my friend and I were hanging out at the mall, and she was trying to talk me into getting a second earring in my left ear, right here. Just a nice, delicate pearl. I loved the idea. It felt a little rebellious and edgy, and I was 17, and I wanted to push the envelope. But I didn't want to actually get into any trouble for being rebellious and edgy, so I found a payphone, no cell phones, and I called my mom to get her permission. It was a ridiculously simple little ornament, and of course my mom said, yes, go ahead. I had checked all the boxes of obedience, but in my heart I was doing this simple, innocent thing driven entirely by worldly desire. It was a passive-aggressive approach to all-out sin. I was grateful for Jesus dying on the cross for me, and I really wanted to share that news with others. But what I wanted more than anything was to have a personal relationship with the God of cool. That sounds so ridiculous now, all written out in the same sentence. One of my favorite authors, Shelley Rushing Tomlinson, posted a picture of a woman working at a pottery wheel with a quote, "We bear the mark of where we've lingered the longest." I think this is such a fantastic way to sum things up. I was spending a lot of time studying the ways of the God of cool. My entertainment, activities, thought life, who I spent time with, all aimed at worldly things. The world says at 18, you are your own person. No one can tell you what to do anymore. And I signed on for that. I definitely wanted to maintain a good Christian girl image because that is actually how I saw myself. I attended church every Sunday and went to all the Bible studies and youth groups, but I always wanted to see how far I could get out on the edge while still holding on to the tether. I wanted to be quietly rebellious, and I wanted to do it at 100 miles per hour. literally. In contrast, Paul says in Philippians, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Spending time immersed in worldly things left its mark on me. It muddled my sense of right and wrong. I'd given up the God of peace for the cold God of cool. I lived with my grandparents in Coeur d'Alene my freshman year of college, and I remember my elder at the time, Wes Struble, calling me up to check in on me. He asked me if there was anything that the elders could be praying for me. I told him yes, actually. I'd really like to be more of a light on campus. I'd like to find ways to share my faith with others. He said, that's great, but what we'd really like to know is how we can pray for you. This conversation confused me for years because I thought, what could be greater for me than getting out there and sharing my faith, evangelizing others? But he'd gotten straight to the heart of it without even knowing it. My heart was not all in. What could I be out there in the world? I have looked back on this period of my life, my high school and college years, and wondered if I was really, truly saved. I certainly did not live like it. But I can see that it is just not taking responsibility for my actions. I was a daughter of the one true king, just a very rebellious daughter. Sorry. I believe that prayer saves me. My parents were actively involved in my life, even when I wasn't listening to them, and I know they prayed for me. I could see that the little rebellion that I cornered off in my heart was starting to have consequences in my real life that I did not like. I moved to Maine for my final year of school, but my problem was a heart problem, not a geography problem. Wherever you go, there you are. It was an extremely small town, and there was no church within walking distance. No Christians. I was living in the dorms, and I knew of only one person there who even had a Bible. I was finally completely miserable. When I came home, I was desperate for things to change, and my parents helped me get back on track. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Luke 15, 4-5. I was one of God's sheep, and I'd lost my way, but he came for me. God had great things waiting for me all that time. He forgave and forgot and showered his kindness on me. In the next year, I would start dating Joe, and we would get married, and then 4 kids and a dog and a home. What have I learned so far? John Wooden, most quotable basketball coach of all time, said, "Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." I have learned that I need a savior this very moment and 3 minutes from now, and this morning when I woke up. I've learned that it isn't always about what I am doing, but why I am doing it. Where's my heart at? I've learned that by studying the good and true and noble things, I can find peace. But really, very recently, I've learned that it isn't just enough to listen and read the word. I have to be willing to be all in. James 4:7 says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That means obey. Am I willing to do whatever God says, even when it is difficult? If God says, submit to your husband, can I do that every single time cheerfully? If God says, don't be anxious about your daughter driving around town all by herself, can I hand that over to him? She's driving. If God says, in everything give thanks, and the forecast says 98 with air quality similar to the inside of a volcano, can I do that? Can I be thankful? Obey, resist, and the devil will flee. Finally, I have learned, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3:5-6.